other fields. They'll be.
How are you today? I am back for another show of It's All About Food and Just in Time. Just in time. We got a lot of things going on here and we put everything together just in time for you today. And I'm going to invite back my favorite guest, your favorite guest, Gary DeMattei. We are going to talk today about the vegan artist way with Art Glass and DeMattei, staying healthy during the audition season or any season. Gary.
Hey, Karen. Yeah, staying healthy during the audition season, the cold and flu season, the season of love, the season of treason, or any season you have a reason to get up and sing, "Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Oh, what a beautiful day.
To go vegan."
It's a beautiful day to go vegan.
It is a beautiful day to go vegan. And I think after our listeners hear what we have to say, they will want to go vegan too.
That's my wish every day.
Yes, my wish too.
That's my wish every day.
And
well,
so let's just get the truth out there.
That's what we're about.
That's what we're about.
To tell the truth.
Telling the truth and not charging for it. Right?
That's right.
So many people tell the truth, but then there's a catch. Right?
It costs.
If you want to know more,
click here.
Sign up for this program.
That's right.
Spend your money. Well, we're not that way.
No. Some people would say we're dopes.
No, some people would say we're artists.
We're artists. That's what we are. That's what artists do.
That's
right. Well, some artists get paid a lot for their art.
That's why there's a thing called audition season, because in addition to doing all of this good stuff here at Responsible Eating and Living, we go out and hit the pavement and look for work in our field, which is the arts. Well, you have 12 fields. You have like a dozen fields. I only have one. I'm an artist.
Well, we're talking about staying healthy in the audition season, but the information we have really applies to everyone who wants to stay healthy, everyone who's exposed to other people.
Other people. Well, especially people who travel. And
we hope
you do use mass transit like we do, and whenever you can. And so, but there are some precautions that you should take when you're on the subway or the bus or BART or the L or wherever you live.
Or close to a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Now, it's really critical for artists and actors especially to stay healthy. I mean, everybody wants to stay healthy, but for performers, our bodies are our instruments.
Right.
And
let's talk about longevity. The longer you can stay healthy, the more work you are able to get.
That's right.
So artists of a certain age, which I certainly think we qualify for that one.
Artists of a certain age.
How do artists of a certain age stay healthy?
Exactly.
Because you're in tip-top shape and I'm in pretty good shape.
And how do coloratures of a certain age hit those big
money notes? Yeah, I mean, you're still hitting those money notes.
Yeah.
And evolving a good word, into those other roles, which are nice. And I mean, they're such great roles when you get. I had a director tell me once, God rest his soul, Peter David Heth. I loved the man. And he looked at me many, many years ago when I was doing Fiedka and Fiddler on the Roof. And he said, you know, when you get old, you're going to be good. And I've never forgotten that. And he's right. I mean, you get better with age, but you got to stay healthy. You got to stay healthy. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about all the things that they're trying to scare you with during the cold and flu season, and how to have courage, how to be coraggio. Isn't that from an aria in La Boheme? Coraggio. Courage.
Yeah. How to have courage and be kind. That's my tagline from Cinderella.
and how to be ruthless against these diseases that they're scaring us with.
Okay, so an important note to begin with.
C sharp.
B flat.
But seriously, folks.
Yeah. So these colds and flus and other viruses that I want to talk about today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the origins of them and how we get them.
Right. These are zoonotic diseases. And zoonotic diseases were the first things I spoke about on this program, It's All About Food, almost 11 years ago.
Oh, my
goodness. Zoonotic diseases.
And we're still talking about it.
And we're still talking about it because that's where it's at.
Right.
So zoonotic diseases.
Yeah, let's give a little definition to the folks listening at home. I love saying that. You folks listening at home.
Or wherever you are, because podcasts go with you.
I know. That was the irony.
I know. It was adorable.
Thank you so much.
Okay. The zoonotic disease. Zoonotic. That's a fun word to say.
Well, can I just guess what that means? Zoo must mean animals, right?
Zoo. That's right. A disease spread between animals and people. And I want to say non-human animals and humans.
Right.
And zoonotic diseases can be caused by viruses, bacteria, parasites, and fungi. That's fun.
Or if you're Italian, you could say fungi.
And they're very common.
Right.
And so nowadays we're very concerned about the newest epidemic, the coronavirus that's out and about.
Shutting down mass transit in China, I understand.
Yes.
They are closing trains and stopping people from going into Hong Kong, I believe.
Yeah,
the latest news was
closing the borders there.
There's a couple of hundred cases. Don't quote me on that, but I mean it's upwards of 100.
Well, there are supposedly thousands who have been infected, but
a couple of hundred people,
maybe
100 people died. Yeah,
so far.
I'll say 100, but again,
but it's happening quickly, and this type of thing can magnify exponentially as more and more people get exposed. And you're familiar with some of these things. You remember in 2003 we had the SARS epidemic, which is the acronym for Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, SARS.
Right.
And then
I remember that. Everybody was going around, as I've been seeing lately on the subway, a lot of folks are going around with surgical masks.
Yeah, we'll talk about surgical masks. And then in 2012, there was the MERS, which is the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus. And these are both coronaviruses like this newest epidemic. They're just a different variety.
And so this is a program called It's All About Food, Karen. So how does that fit in with our program? He asked with his eyebrows raised.
Yes, and you have very nice eyebrows, Karen.
Thank you. They're very expressive eyebrows. I do my eyebrow lifts 100 times a day. Do you do yours?
I do.
Yeah.
You know,
it's Groucho Marx time in the morning for us.
One day we'll do a show about facial exercises and food, but right now.
So how does this tie in with food, Karen?
Yes. So food is one line of defense against these viruses, against
one line
these
of defense?
Illnesses. There are numerous things that
but
we
aren't
can
these
do.
Viruses also spread?
Well, they're spread. They began with our closeness, our close proximity with animals. And because today, not only are there close to 8 billion people on the planet, but we have animals
that we raise for food.
Exactly. In confined conditions.
Conditions. And so the feces.
Everything is shared. And if one animal gets sick, another animal gets sick.
And then
it magnifies the impact.
And so if we're in close proximity to these animals, we're going to get sick.
Well, there is the possibility of a particular illness affecting one animal to jump the species barrier and infect another animal. And we are animals, and yes, we can get infected.
We are human animals, yes, and we can get infected. Okay, very good.
So if we, number one, if there weren't so many people on the planet, we wouldn't be raising so many animals on the planet, and we wouldn't have these illnesses.
Or if there were just as many people, but they were all vegan.
We would likely not have as at these things if we weren't, if we were letting the few animals that were on the planet roam freely with room to breathe, room to poop.
Right. But not pooping on top of each other.
Yeah.
As they do now.
In the industrial form.
Agricultural.
The CAFOs, confined animal feedlot operations, and other, and then the chicken areas where they're just living in excrement and filth.
Right.
Yeah, that's a disease soup.
Right. So.
Okay, so what do we do? So one line of defense. First line of defense, food.
Right.
And it's all about food. We're going to be talking about a number of other things that you can do, but just let's talk about food and vitamins and supplements.
Right.
All the things we put in our body.
So to have a nutrient-dense diet and stay strong.
Yes.
Keep healthy.
So we're followers
of
Dr.
Joel
Fuhrman. So that your immune system can fight it, because our bodies are meant to be exposed to toxins.
Right.
And problems, and they're meant to be able to fight them.
Right.
Successfully.
Right. So I cut you off. You were going to say something about our favorite doctor,
Dr. Joel Fuhrman.
He promotes
G-bombs, greens, mushrooms, onions.
So that's the acronym. G-bombs is the acronym for
greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, seeds.
Hence G-bombs.
So we'll just quickly review some of them. Your favorite food,
Not my favorite food, but you know what I'm learning to...
Is the mushroom.
Take it through supplements, which is great. I can handle it through supplements.
And mushrooms are really magical, where they can activate the body's natural immune defenses. And the different mushrooms...
I like that. Magic mushrooms. Now, that could be misinterpreted.
That's true.
If you're a Grateful Dead fan of a certain age.
Yes.
But
I'm not talking about hallucinogenic mushrooms. I'm talking about nutritional
The magic of nutritional mushrooms.
Yes.
As opposed to magic mushrooms.
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
we're not talking about psilocybin. Ooh, I didn't say that. Okay.
So
the different mushrooms, they've been tested. You know, we only know so much about so many things because it's so expensive to do studies, and there are an infinite number of studies that we can do. So different mushrooms have been tested, and we learned that they have all kinds of benefits. We don't really know all the benefits we can get from all the mushrooms. So the idea is eat them all or take a supplement that has all of them in them, because they all bring benefit.
Right.
The simple button mushroom has wonderful benefits.
I know what those look like. Those are the little white ones, right?
Yeah.
They're probably the most common in grocery stores, right? Button mushrooms?
Yeah, and they've been found to enhance the immune defenses in mucosal linings like the mouth and the respiratory tract. And that's where the colds and flus get started, right?
Right.
So mushrooms are really good. And just make a note, they should be eaten cooked, not raw.
Got it. A lot of people eat them raw. So.
Yeah. So what I like to do is I buy a bunch of mushrooms. I do this for two reasons. I clean them, and you know what, everybody? I rinse them. I mean, people say, don't get your mushrooms wet. That's ridiculous. Where do mushrooms grow? Outside, they get wet.
They have these little mushroom brushes so people don't wash the mushrooms.
Yeah, I just rinse them and get the dirt off.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And you're just going to throw them in a pot of water.
And then I'm going to throw them in a pot of water. So who cares?
Right.
Who cares? So what?
Right.
That's a song, everyone, from Cabaret. I sing it.
Yes, you do. And you sing it really well.
And what I like to do is cook the mushrooms, put them in a container, keep them in the refrigerator. That way they're there.
Now, when you put them in a container, do you put the water that you've cooked them in with?
I do. Okay. I love the broth.
You can
that I
add
can
that
use
to
anything.
Yes. Excuse me while I gag.
Okay. And this way, I have them ready, and I can also add them to food that Gary doesn't want to have added as well.
Right. But I'm learning.
He's getting brave. And for those of you who don't like mushrooms, there are always mushroom powders.
Yay, I like those.
That aren't as offensive from a texture point of view.
Right. My favorite is the mushroom powder that we get. What is that mushroom called? It's the It's the really expensive one.
Yes.
The street value is like $40 an ounce.
Yeah, we're going to see. We take mushrooms for our memory, and can we remember
the
name?
Well, it's a tough
that
name
mushroom?
To remember. But
it's a French one, I think.
No, it's Italian. There's an Italian name.
I think everybody wants to
clean. Anyway, it's a great mushroom powder. And you can get a variety of mushrooms in dried. I mean, when I was a kid, we had nothing but dried mushrooms around the house because that was a thing. You know, mm-hmm. They were in glass jars, and then you would rehydrate them by soaking them in a little water and chop them up. And my mother tried to chop them really small and put them in the spaghetti sauce, and I could always tell when she was doing that, and I refused to eat. And wasn't fun.
Okay.
Anyway, so other mushrooms, let's talk about them.
No, all the mushrooms are good. Let's talk about cruciferous vegetables.
Oh, is that the next step?
Yes, because we have a lot to talk about, and we're like running out of time already. I can't believe it.
Right.
Okay. So
that's only 4:15.
You know how wonderful cruciferous vegetables are. You want to eat them all the time.
Well, define what a cruciferous vegetable is.
Kale, collards, mustard greens, arugula, watercress, broccoli, rabe, cabbage, cauliflower, kohlrabi. There's a whole list of them. If you don't like broccoli, you don't have to eat broccoli. There are other greens that you can eat. You don't have to eat one type. If you don't like kale,
you don't have to eat kale.
You don't have to eat it. Or you can get Bilal's Easy Kale.
Yeah. This is a commercial for Bilal's.
We love Bilal. He's such a good man. But he created this powder where 1 tablespoon equals 4 cups of organic green kale. So if you don't like the taste, get Bilal's Easy Kale.
And sprinkle it on everything. You just sprinkle that on your oatmeal in the morning. You won't even know it's there.
But fresh is best. But here's the magic. Here's the chemistry magic. You don't have to remember. What you have to remember is to chop and chew your greens. So if you're going to cook your greens, you want to chop them. Let them rest for a moment before you cook them. And if you're going to have them raw, it's good to blend them in a blender or chew.
Chew boogie.
Because these greens have something called glucosinolates. I'm not even going to repeat it. You don't have to remember it. And what happens is when we chop them or chew them, they turn into this powerful anti-cancer compound, powerful immune system boosting compound called, it's a fun word to say, isothiocyanates.
Oh, I've heard you say that many times before.
Isothiocyanates. Or ICTS.
Okay, so that's a fun tongue twister.
Yeah, and it's these isothiocyanates that support the immune system. They have antimicrobial properties.
Antimicrobial properties. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Now, one more thing.
Only one?
Yeah. So these isothiocyanates, there's this enzyme that does the converting from the glucosinolate to the isothiocyanate.
Karen is using her hands, everybody. You should see it.
And this enzyme is myrosinase.
Okay, sorry. What was that again?
Myrosinase.
Right.
Anyway, this enzyme is important. And I remember Dr. Michael Greger saying that he would chop his vegetables and let them hang out for 45 minutes
before cooking
them, because he wanted them to completely convert to isothiocyanates. But I don't think you have to wait that long. But this myrosinase that does the converting.
Right.
If you're eating cooked greens that didn't do a complete conversion or didn't do it at all, there's magic here. You can add shredded cabbage.
Again with the magic.
And that will provide some of this enzyme, the myrosinase, to produce more of these isothiocyanates. You can add mustard powder, and you can add radish. These are the magical mixes that you can add to do the chemistry magic.
Oh, that's phenomenal. And you could add show tunes while you're doing it.
Exactly.
Like, we've got magic to do.
Or I can cook too, right, on top of the rest.
Oh, I just thought of the mushroom, porcini.
Oh, thank you.
Porcini powder.
I love porcini powder.
They're actually the top 5 mushrooms in Italy. Porcini powder. Porcini mushrooms are right up there on top. The other ones are galetti, chanterelles.
Oh, chanterelles. Those are my favorites.
Cardoncelli.
That's what I was thinking of.
And tartufi.
Or truffles. All right, let's move to berries now, because berries have those powerful antioxidants called flavonoids. And they also have antiviral activity.
Okay, so we're boosting our immune system now with mushrooms and berries.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so what are some of your favorite berries, Karen, other than your brother, who is named Barry?
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. My brother is also a vegan artist.
Yes, he is. And this,
there you go.
And we are doing a riff on The Artist's Way, a book that Karen and I both were turned on to, I guess you could say.
By Barry. My brother, yeah. Barry, not Barry.
So we're saying The Vegan Artist's
yes.
Way.
So berries, the food, especially the ones that are blue or purple
the
in color.
B-E-R-R-I-E-S, as
have
opposed
another,
to B-A-R-R-Y.
Thank you.
Apostrophe S. The berries.
So what do the purple, bluish foods have? Another favorite word I like to say, anthocyanins.
And that's kind of like the one you just said for mushrooms. You said something with...
Yeah, the isothiocyanates.
Right. Very similar. Could get confusing.
It's got that psi in it.
Right.
Not to be confused with a psi.
S-I-G-H.
But a C-Y like in, I don't want to say cyanide, but.
Like in psi, the name, short for Cyril.
Moving on.
Moving right along.
Berries and grapes also have resveratrol.
Oh, I love when
another
you say that.
Another fun word to say.
Resveratrol.
Another antioxidant phytochemical with strong antiviral effects. These are all great for fighting cold and flu.
Right.
And keeping us strong.
Right.
Yeah. And all berries are good. Raspberries are great. Strawberries are great. And if the berries are too expensive to get those...
fresh berries, you mean?
Anthocyanins, if you want to get the purple... Mm-hmm. There's always red cabbage loaded with anthocyanin, too. And that's a cheap food.
We have a lot of recipes on the Responsible Eating and Living website for that we use red cabbage, like red cabbage slaw and cooking red cabbage with onions.
Right. And speaking of onions and garlic, it's great to add them to your salad or maybe chop up some fresh garlic in your dressing. They are very good for cancer prevention, which I like to talk about all the time, but they also may help our immune system in other ways, with garlic having virus-killing activity against common respiratory viruses.
Excellent. And so we're up to onions now. Anything else about onions?
Don't just eat them. They're delicious. Eat them.
And you can eat them raw? Is it better to eat them raw?
It's better if you eat them raw.
So unlike the mushrooms, that it's better if you eat them cooked, it's better if you eat the onions raw.
Yes.
And the berries, of course,
eat
them raw.
And if you're going to cook onions and garlic, please chop them first so that they can do their magical conversions.
Their conversion. Right. Okay. So we've got G, bombs. We've got greens.
Beans, which we didn't mention.
We will mention it.
They're just wonderful.
Right.
I can say
that... cook those or eat them raw if you can eat them raw.
Well, one of the things we get from beans, specifically beans like lentils and garbanzo beans, is they have a lot of zinc in them. And vitamin D and zinc are two specific nutrients that we need that really help against cold and flu. I remember what I used to do this. I don't do it as much anymore because I don't really feel I have a need to, but I used to pop those zinc lozenges when I felt a sore throat coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped quite a bit.
And I used to take them also, and they have them with vitamin C as well.
Yeah.
Zinc and vitamin C.
But the ideal is to have those nutrients in your body before.
Yeah, so the myth is, you know, eat a bowl of chicken noodle soup, right? And that could be the thing that's making you sick.
Yes, well, a few studies have shown some benefit from eating chicken soup. I think it has to do with the histamines, something like mm-hmm. that. But there are so many negative things that come from making soup from chicken bones.
Right.
Long-term negative effects,
right?
Because there is a lot of lead they found in chicken bones, so you can get a lot of toxins at the same time while you're having while you're trying to get the short-term benefits.
Right. So eat a big salad.
Eat mushrooms.
Throw a bunch of beans on it.
We have a wonderful mushroom broth soup that we recommend instead of eating these bone broths. I mean, there's so many things wrong with
bone
broths.
That's a great soup recipe, that mushroom broth recipe that you have.
Yes, it has celery and carrots that offer all kinds of good nutrition, and it's comforting, except if you don't like the taste of mushrooms.
If you don't like mushrooms, but there are other things we'll talk about if you don't like mushrooms, like I don't like mushrooms. And again, we talked about the mushroom powders that you can add to food. And our vegan, mineral-rich, bone-free broth is at the Responsible Eating and Living website. And we've had people tell us that it has made them feel better after they've eaten it.
Oh, that's nice. You know, the placebo effect is also very powerful.
Right.
Because there's a real component to the placebo effect. If you believe something will make you well, your body believes it too.
I believe that too. I believe it.
And your body has a lot of power, and it listens to the messages you give it. So when you're telling your body something's good, to some extent, it believes it. So anything you eat.
And the opposite is also true. If you're telling your body something is
bad, it will believe you.
It will believe it, and you could get sick that way.
Correct.
So, talk to your body in a positive way. That's the message.
That's the good message.
Especially if you're out there during audition season and, you know, you're going through the audition after audition after audition, as we are all doing now, and you get those rejection notices or you don't get any notices at all. Don't get yourself down. Just make yourself a nice, big, healthy smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another way you can get some of this this nutrient-dense diet that we're talking about is through smoothies. You can make smoothies, we've said this a million times, with berries. You can even put mushroom powder in a smoothie.
You could. You could put beans in a smoothie.
You could put beans in a smoothie. You could put Bilal's kale powder in a smoothie.
Easy.
You could put fresh kale in a smoothie. You could put greens and beans. You could even put onions in a smoothie. There are a lot of onions out there that don't really have a strong taste.
You know, I like this idea, and I have, like,
yeah,
so much more
moving
to talk about, but going to an audition, some of you may have an idea about what we're talking about, and some of you may not, but the routine here in New York City is you go in, and you get 2 minutes to either say a monologue, sing a short song, or a combination of both. And there's not even
a
guarantee.
That's only an EPA. I mean,
That's
if you get in.
So people who are members of Actors Equity, they are allowed to either sign up online or go in and get on a list to audition for the day.
Right.
And
yes, we are.
And then there are sister organizations like the American Guild of Musical Artists, which I am a part of, that can also go in and get an audition for the day.
Right.
Then there are Equity member candidates that have performed in different shows and are collecting points. And when they get 50 points, 1 point is for 1 week of work, they will be able to become part of the union. So the Equity member candidates, EMC people, they come in too for the auditions, but they are not seen unless everybody else, the union members, have been seen. And then people who are non-equity, not EMC, not a part of anything, but still want their chance, they can sit around all day and wait and not even be seen.
Right.
This is the reality. Is it fair? I don't know. But if you're sitting around all day, I recommend you be prepared.
Right.
So you're going to want to eat.
Right.
And there's a lunch break. Do you want to go out and buy some crappy food?
No.
Or do you want to bring a healthy smoothie with you?
Absolutely. You want to bring a healthy smoothie. You want to bring a green juice. You want to bring something that's going to boost your immune system as well as make you go in there and dazzle them.
Right. You want to stay light and humorous, but you want to be nourished. You want to be hydrated.
It really has everything to do with it, that if your body isn't well nourished. I can't say that enough.
So the thing about succeeding in any career, but succeeding at an audition, you need to be prepared. You need to know your music, you need to know your lines, you need to be well rehearsed, and you need to be prepared for the day, which is staying hydrated, staying energized. So
right.
There's more things than just learning your piece.
And getting yourself to feel okay about not getting the part.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that we go through in this business that also breaks down your immune system.
Absolutely.
And one of the things is to keep yourself nourished and exercise and meditate and do all of the things that you need to do to tell yourself that you're just fine.
That's right. That helps you handle stress.
It helps you handle the stress, and it gets you up the next day to go out there and get the job. And this applies not only to artists or people auditioning, but just everybody in that has to face the day and say, oh, what a beautiful morning it is to go vegan.
That's right.
And stay healthy and in shape. Because the important thing for people, for artists of a certain age, is, hey, lasting. Right?
That's right.
Because eventually you'll be lasting is casting.
And lasting to sound good, to be able to sing,
right,
to have the energy to move.
Right.
Move and dance.
And dance and move those. Yeah, and there's yoga class and there's Pilates and there's all these things, but you have to nourish your body to take class too. You're in dance class, I'm in acting class.
Yeah.
I mean, we take class in addition to all of that, and we have to make sure that we're ready for it all.
And, hydration is really important at home, wherever you go. We bring water or tea with us, either in a thermos or in a glass bottle. I don't advise plastic. Plastic is not good for
you. We talked about that last week.
Not good for the environment.
About how we distill our water. Where there's information on our website if you want to distill your water too. And we recommend you check out these distillers that we have listed on the website. But you don't have to. You can buy your own distiller.
Yeah, go to responsibleeatingandliving.com if you want to find out more about the Aqua Nui that we use at home.
Right.
Now, more about water.
Okay.
Now, this is something that surprised me. It's important in your home, especially, to have the right amount of humidity. And in the wintertime, the air can be very dry, especially here in New York and in other places where we're heating our homes. And the thing is that flu germs survive and spread more easily in dry air conditions.
I did not know that.
I just learned that recently.
Isn't that?
And it's something that you may have heard of and forgotten. So that's where we're bringing it up again.
So turn that humidifier on in the winter.
Yeah, it's important. And you want to have humidity around 45 to 50% to curb the spread of germs. I've got this thing going, a damp chaser, to dry and humidify the piano to keep the piano fit all year long.
Might as well keep your body.
Exactly.
Like the piano. Be like a piano.
Well, pianos are sensitive to temperature and humidity.
Absolutely.
And so are we.
Absolutely. And we're often filled. You can often find us filling the piano with water.
So
very funny.
The humidifier does a lot of wonderful things, and I'm going to mention a few more. So humidifiers help us breathe more easily. So it moisturizes our nasal passages, our throat, our lung passages. It makes it easier for air to pass through. And it makes you feel better faster.
Right.
So being in a dry environment is really, really not good. Now, you've heard of the little nose hairs, the cilia?
Oh, yeah. I have a nose hair trimmer.
Now, some nose hairs.
It's vanity. It's all vanity.
Can be annoying, but nose hairs, more magic.
Right.
And I remember really learning to appreciate my cilia in my nose hairs, when I lost them with chemotherapy.
Right, chemotherapy,
I
remember.
It was the winter, and my nose just kept dripping. There was nothing to hold anything inside.
I remember that.
I love my nose hairs.
And they grew back.
And they did.
That's amazing.
And we want to take care of our nose hairs, take care of those cilia.
And the humidifier helps us do that.
It does. It helps protect your nasal and respiratory passages. The cilia, they move back and forth, and they prevent bacteria and germs and dust and other foreign particles that can actually trigger illness. So when they're dry, they can't do their job effectively.
Got it.
They need a little moisture to help continuing to ward off and slough off.
So then don't trim your nose hairs. Let them grow out.
Well, they can. They don't have to hang out of your
into
nose.
A mustache. No, I know.
No, use a humidifier.
Use a humidifier, but trim your nose hairs just enough.
I've also mentioned using a neti pot. Now, I haven't turned you on to a neti pot yet, Gary.
No, I've watched you do it, though, and I'm coraggio. I'm getting the courage. I'm getting the courage to pour water in my nose.
It's a weird thing.
Right.
I admit. But the neti
not
pot.
Not a weird thing.
It's little pot. Kind of looks like a little
It's weird
pot.
For neurotics like me, but it's not weird for
but
people.
But here's some important tips with the neti pot if you're curious or if you've started using a neti pot. You don't want to use regular tap water.
No.
There are bugs. There are bacteria. There are germs in tap water. So what you need to do at a very minimum is boil it, boil the water, and then let it cool down to a warm temperature.
Let it cool, everybody.
Yeah, you want to kill the bacteria, and you don't want to put boiling water in
your
nose.
Don't put boiling water in your nose. As a matter of fact, don't put boiling water anywhere near your nose.
But ideally, it's best to use... Is that redundant? Ideally, it's best to use...
Probably, but who cares? Somebody.
Distilled
write
water.
Write in, somebody. Let us know if it's redundant.
Distilled water is best. Now, you can buy it, distilled water. It comes in plastic containers. We're not too hip to that.
Used to come in big glass bottles, though. Big 5-gallon...
Oh, yeah. Remember? You could probably get pharmaceutical-grade
You can get the big... remember the water coolers? You could get the big... maybe you can. Pharmaceutical. But anyway, now they're also delivered in plastic.
I don't know. Do they deliver distilled water? I guess they distill.
You can get either distilled or regular. Okay. At least you used to be able to.
And you want to use distilled water. What I like to do is we distill our water with an Aqua Nui distiller, and then I boil it, and then I let it cool down because I like using warm water in the neti pot. And then you add some sea salt, and you want it to be just sea salt. You don't want it to be iodized or have some decaking agent in it. Just needs to be salt.
And there's actually a neti pot salt.
Yeah, there's different varieties you can buy, food grade, pharmaceutical grade, which is good to use. But one more thing. After you use the neti pot, you want it to be clean. Can use soap and water, hot water. You don't want to leave your germs in the neti pot.
Right.
To reinfect yourself.
Exactly.
Again. So keep your neti pots clean.
And a neti pot looks like a genie lamp.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
And before we had a neti pot, we actually used, or you actually used a little teapot.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Hey, well, you know, it worked.
It worked.
Right?
Now you can buy in the drugstores saline solutions that are specifically for nasal rinsing, and they do the same thing.
I've noticed you every time you feel like you're coming down with a little sniffles or something, you'll go right in and start working the neti pot, and then you're fine.
Yep,
it's magic.
It is magic.
Yeah.
More. This is all about magic today.
We've got magic to do. That song from Pippin for you show tune people out there.
We're not going to talk about...
You showbiz kids. Or you lovers of show tunes.
One, two. You've got magic to to do.
Jazz hands. Fussy, fussy,
okay, fussy. We can talk about the importance of sleep and exercise.
Oh, they're sleep important. Is so important.
I don't want to focus
exercise
on them too much.
Exercise is important.
But they're important and they definitely help fight cold and flu and viruses and keep you healthy. So get your sleep. Wear a sleep mask if it's too bright. Do whatever you can to make the room dark.
Good segue. Speaking of masks, what about these surgical masks? Can we talk about those now?
Yes.
They're becoming very, very fashionable on the subway. I see a lot of people.
So we ride the subway.
Yes, we do.
And
we ride trains.
It's an interesting experience on the subway.
Very. Very interesting.
More difficult for some than others.
Yes.
And sometimes when someone sneezes.
Everywhere. I write about this all the time on my Facebook page.
I think about that movie. I forget the name of it. Where somebody was in a movie theater and sneezed and you could see the little droplets travel.
Oh, yes.
Where everybody got infected from that sneeze.
Dustin Hoffman was in that film,
That's
right?
correct, yeah. What was that called? Like
I don't know. We'll think of it.
Epidemic or... Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
It was probably called sneeze.
So that's how we share these type of illnesses from coughing and sneezing. So the best thing is for those who are infected to cover up.
Right.
That's considerate, and that's the most helpful. For the ones who are infected, either stay home or use a mask and don't share your illness.
Right. Carry a handkerchief.
But the other things that we can do, we can wear a mask, and that's helpful.
Right.
And if we're going to sneeze, to do the elbow sneeze. Who knows about the elbow sneeze?
I do.
Oh, please explain the elbow sneeze, Gary.
So you sneeze not into your elbow, because you would be a contortionist if you could do that. But the area of your arm, the area that bends where your elbow is, you just sneeze. I'm covering now and you probably can't hear me. But you sneeze right into that if you don't have a handkerchief to sneeze into. And I usually carry a handkerchief. So I feel the sneeze coming on. I pull the handkerchief out of my pocket and I cover my face with it and I sneeze into the handkerchief. But if you don't have a handkerchief, sneeze into your arm.
This is a habit that you can learn to do. And children should be taught how to do it. It's funny. I noticed recently coming out of the subway, there were a couple of men and a couple of young boys, and one of the young boys sneezed, and he sneezed into his elbow. He did a beautiful elbow sneeze.
Right.
Protecting everyone around him. And then I heard them speak a foreign language. They were not American. They knew the correct way to sneeze.
They knew the correct
Most way. Americans do not, at least not the ones we see on the subway.
Right. And the other thing is coughing is the same thing. Is we see a lot of people these are packed buses and subways that we're talking about now, and they're just coughing essentially right in your face, and usually while staring at a phone. So just be mindful that this is actually a way that you can spread lots and lots of germs. And
yes. So everybody practice with us right now. Let's all do an elbow sneeze. Ready?
Thank you.
Good. Now, the other thing, of course, is our hands. And in the subway, we're holding on to a pole, something so we don't fall.
Strap hangers, are hanging onto the...
And everybody else has held on to those same poles, so we're sharing.
Yeah, the other day on the subway, I actually saw two people not grab onto it with their hands, but grabbed onto it with their wrists. They bent their wrists, their hands and wrists, and they were making like a hook, and they didn't want to touch the pole.
Yeah.
And so, what would you say? Surgical gloves?
Well, you could. I mean, it... Especially now when things are so contagious,
right.
You might consider wearing gloves, surgical gloves or just your winter gloves, and then wash them when you get home.
But surgical gloves are probably not a bad idea.
But the really hard part, whether you wear gloves or not, is not touching your face.
Yes. Because that's
how it happens. Your hand grabs a doorknob. You know, I remember being in health class in seventh grade, and we learned that you cannot get a venereal disease by grabbing a doorknob. But you
can't?
No, you can't. But you can get a virus.
Yes, you can.
From grabbing a doorknob that someone has recently grabbed and left their germs.
Especially
there.
If you touch your face or put your hands in your mouth afterwards.
Yes.
These are just basic things that we're reminding you of, folks, because there are going to be a lot of people scaring you about this.
Yeah.
This flu virus.
So hand washing is excellent. And although some hospitals and medical establishments will tell you to hand wash with antibacterial, antimicrobial soap, I don't recommend that.
You don't? Why?
I don't. Because these soaps are teaching the bacteria to get smart. And at some point, some of our antibiotics will not be effective.
I see.
Against these bacteria. So good old soap.
Bacteria is smart.
Because just good old soap, what it does is it sloughs off the bacteria.
Right.
And that's what we want to do.
Excellent. And what about these hand sanitizers? Would you recommend those? Or
well, if you're in a place where you can't wash your hands immediately,
right,
they would come in handy.
A little bottle of hand sanitizer.
Yeah. I mean, we use them when we're teaching kids in
right.
our theater classes.
Right.
I wipe everything down with them and because the germs are everywhere.
Exactly. I get styes, and that's because I go on the subway and then I touch my eyes. And so then you have to get on antibiotics, and you got it's a drag. So don't do what Gary does. Don't touch your eyes or scratch your eyes or rub your eyes. Just wash your hands first.
As a singer.
Yes.
Another thing that I do is I use a steamer before I'm singing.
Is that similar to a humidifier?
I think it is.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it
wow.
really gets everything ready, because when you're singing, you're really putting stress on your respiratory system, on the vocal cords, and moisturizing so everything is
it helps twofold thing. Then.
Yes.
Absolutely. So these portable steamers for singers, guys, get out there and get those. And
I recommend
start
them.
Steaming.
But you have to carry a little container of distilled water with you.
Sure. That's okay. They can do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're artists.
This is the vegan artist's way.
Right. Or just the artist's way for smart people. Okay.
All right. Now, what about flu shots? I know you're saying, what about flu shots?
Yeah, what about flu shots?
Well.
What about flu shots, Karen? Let's talk about flu shots.
Okay, let's talk about flu shots. I am not a proponent of flu shots.
Ooh, controversial.
Did I say that? It's, you know, in my opinion, it's not something that I would do. The flu shot is designed to fight against last year's flus.
Right.
Not necessarily this year's flus.
Right.
But last year's flus.
Okay.
So they're not very effective. And
have you ever heard of anybody getting the flu after getting a flu shot? I have.
Yes.
I've heard of people getting very sick after getting a flu shot.
So it's...
You think that's a coincidence or...
No.
No. Okay.
Well, what's interesting is that, like
yes.
I mentioned, they lower the risk of catching the previous year's flu.
Right.
The viral strains of the flu from the year before. But it hasn't been shown to be very helpful at reducing risks and complications related to the flu in healthy individuals. So it has a benefit, and that is it's herd, H-E-R-D, herd immunity.
Right.
And it does protect the sickest and the most vulnerable among us, or so they say. I mean, that's what its main benefit is. Although we know your uncle at 92 or something.
Or, yeah, but...
He had got the... No. Okay, we won't talk about him. Okay. It's not a requirement for a healthy individual, for an average healthy individual, because our immune system, doing all the things that we just talked about, should be able to fight the infection easily.
Right.
Easily. And our immune system, when we nourish it with these important foods, helps protect and fight infections quicker and more efficiently, and reduces the severity and duration.
Okay.
So I am not a proponent of flu vaccines. And flu vaccines come with things that we don't want to inject in our bodies. They may have aluminum and chicken embryo stuff. You know, they're not vegan.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. And flu vaccines and other vaccines, depending on where you're getting them, they may not be fresh. They may be under-concentrated, over-concentrated. There's all kinds of issues that come with vaccines. And I just think it's just smarter to nourish ourselves, protect our immune system, do these simple things, keeping our homes hydrated as well as our bodies with humidifiers.
As well as our pianos.
Our pianos. And using a neti pot, washing our hands, wearing masks in dense environments with lots of other people.
Well, I applaud your courage. That's a very courageous stance to be on.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And you're going to get a lot of flack for that, but...
That's okay. That's my opinion.
Very good opinion.
And the thing is, when you go to see your doctor, mm-hmm. many of these places today, they're like, I don't want to say pushers, but...
I experienced that yesterday. I went.
They're required to recommend flu vaccines, tetanus shots, all kinds of exams. My primary care physician, I love her, but she always says, "What about mammogram this year?" And she knows me. She doesn't give me a hard time, but many.
And you're on the record for being against mammograms as well.
I am on the record for being against mammograms.
Okay, now why is that?
Well.
You're an ovarian cancer survivor. You had a 10 to 20% survival rate on that. And you beat that by combining conventional medicine with this stuff you're talking about now.
You know, my dad used to say before he died, nobody gets out of this world alive. Okay, right. We're all going to get sick, a variety of different illnesses, cold, flus, viruses, who knows, heart disease, cancer. We live in a toxic environment. We're human. And something's going to bring us down in the end anyway. But in the meantime, we want to live a long life, a quality life, feeling good. And yeah, I had advanced ovarian cancer and my healthy diet didn't prevent it, but my healthy diet did help me get through the treatments and get well. And that's the secret. You may get a cold or flu, but you want to be healthy enough so that your system can get through it.
Right.
So mammograms, The research, in my opinion, just isn't there. When a mammogram finds a problem, it's something that's been there a long time. So the idea is that you want to prevent it from happening with excellent nutrition. And the research does not show that having a mammogram prolongs life. So there are some women that feel like, oh, a mammogram saved my life because it found something. That may be true for individuals, but the research is not there. And Dr. Furman has an excellent position paper or an article about mammograms, and it cites all the pro and con research and why I made a decision that it's not something that I want to do.
Okay, again, you're being very courageous, and you're going to be very controversial with that.
Well, you know, I used to go to my gynecologist every year,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't stop me from being diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer. They didn't even know what they were looking for. I know it's
exactly.
a disease that's hard to diagnose, but all of those horrible exams.
Right.
It didn't help me.
They thought it was uterine fibroids, right?
I did.
Right.
But who knows?
Okay, anyway.
Anyway, we have 4 minutes left.
All right, so...
How did we do that, Gary?
We did great. So there's some vegan artists in the news again that we wanted to talk about on Sunday. Vegan musician Billie Eilish won 5 Grammy Awards.
Woo-hoo!
Congratulations to Billie Eilish and her 5 Grammy Awards.
Vegan artists are taking over.
Yeah, and I didn't realize this, but Ariana Grande is also a...
Allegedly a vegan.
Allegedly a vegan. Now, we did have some news last week, we thought, and we didn't go on the record with it because we weren't sure. It was just hot off the press that
Robert Downey Jr.
was going vegan, but apparently that was false.
Apparently he's given up chicken, but not other things.
Very good. So Iron Man is still not a vegan. But what else can we talk to you about, folks? It's... interesting weather out here in New York. I hope where you are, the weather is cooperating. I know there's lots of rain going on in different places, but it's unseasonably warm here in New York today. And that is always concerning in the supposedly.
It's nice, but concerning, right?
Right.
And the change of weather also affects our health every time the weather changes.
That was my segue. If some of these germs are allowed to continue through the winter, it's just going to get stronger and stronger. So you have to get stronger and stronger, everybody.
That's right. Everybody, get stronger and stronger.
Exercise, eat a nutrient-dense diet, listen to It's All About Food, go to Responsible Eating and Living, get some recipes like the incredible mushroom broth, the vegan mineral-rich bone-free broth.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, that's a great.
Yeah, so you've probably heard how celery is really nutritious, and there was Anthony Williams, I think, the medical medium who was promoting, still promotes celery juice.
Oh, that was a big craze for a while. You couldn't
celery even get celery. Celery is healthy, yes. Do we have to drink celery juice? No, but we should eat celery. We can include it in our smoothies, include it in our juice, and include it in our mineral-rich mushroom broth because it's loaded with minerals.
Right. Minerals are good.
Yeah, can't live without them.
Can't live without them.
Yeah, that's right.
I love to breathe. It's what I do for a living.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought up breathing.
Right.
So glad you brought up breathing.
This is why it's a tag team here.
Yeah, this is a great way to tie up this whole program. So we talk about breathing on the show from time to time. Clearly, if you've picked up a cold or a flu, it makes it more difficult to breathe. Breathing is essential.
Everybody breathe with us.
Breathing is so essential to living, the most important thing, more important than food.
It's what I do for a living.
And when you're at an audition, for example, nervousness, whatever, if you're feeling high blood pressure,
anxiety,
breathing, intentional, calm breathing brings everything down. It relaxes you.
Right.
Calms you down, brings down your blood pressure.
Gets you out of your head.
Focus on breathing.
Stay out of your head, folks. That's the important thing.
Everybody, let's just take a few
seconds,
a few healthy, nourishing, relaxing breaths together. Ready? Inhale.
In. And exhale.
Let's do that again together.
Everybody in. And exhale. It's a crazy world out there, folks. You got to breathe.
You got to breathe. When there's something upsetting, anything, first thing, breathe.
Right. All right. And finally, what was your favorite food this week, Karen?
My favorite food. We have to go. But my favorite food, what was it?
We just had a great salad.
Oh, my God. Thanks for bringing that up. Oh, I wanted to thank you for that salad at the beginning of the show, and I didn't. Gary made an awesome, what do we call
it? On the
Asian
website.
Salad.
Yeah.
Cabbage and cilantro and
Napa cabbage, cilantro,
green
almonds,
onions, little
green
lemon
onions.
Juice, almonds.
Yeah.
The freshest, most wonderful thing. Thank you.
If you don't like, a lot of people don't like cilantro, you can use another green herb of your choice. Mint.
Absolutely.
A lot of people like
mint
to put mint
great.
In salad.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So make your Asian slaws, Asian salads, as we like to call them. Cabbage is such a great food. We're raising our hands and cheering. Hooray!
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today on It's All About Food for the Vegan Artist Way. You can find us at info@realmeals.org if you want to send us any kind of communication. And we're at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Thank you, Gary, for joining me.
Thank you, Karen, for having me.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Everybody together. Have a delicious week.